One of the humbling moments in parenthood, we've all had it, that moment when you see your son or daughter, just a little one, right? And you hear a word that comes out of their mouth or an attitude displayed, and you sort of down deep realize, that's me. You see a bit of yourself in your children. That can hurt a little bit, can it? How do you handle that? You know, our kids catch more from watching us than they do from the words that we speak. And we're going to process this today here at the Intentional Living Center and really make sense out about how we parent in such a way as intentional parents to help our kids become what and who God intends for them to be. Having raised three kids, we could tell stories here for a long time. You see your sons or your daughter and you see an attitude or you hear a word out of their mouth and even an inflection in a word. Have you ever noticed you can hear that between father and son and daughter and mom sometimes? Which is a quaint thing until all of a sudden, where did they get that word? How many times have you heard that? You've seen a kid say something. He never talks like that. You know, where'd you hear that? Hello, Dad or Mom. Our kids, our grandkids, they catch the things from us, from our mouth, from our attitude, more than they do all the words that we speak and the messages that we preach. And so today, tell you what, I want to ask the question here at the Intentional Living Center. Come on in, friends. Let's talk about this. How are you being intentional to curb behaviors in your children that you don't want your children to imitate? I'm talking about maybe your own things. How are you curbing your own things? And how are you dealing with your words, your attitude, and so on? Because you don't realize it until the kids come along that you're passing along. Or how are you being intentional to exemplify the kind of behaviors and attitudes that you want your children to imitate? That's intentional parenting. You know, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:11, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And if we go to the primary source, you see throughout the New Testament that Jesus basically was speaking to us, do as I do and be as I am. I mean, that's basically what he tells us, right? And he's an example. He spent 3 years with his disciples living out before them how to live their lives intentionally, demonstrating, and they caught it. Not only in their heart, but they caught it in their daily actions. So today we open the phone lines, 888-888-1717 for parents, grandparents who want to just sort of honestly say, hey, here's what I've had to deal with. Here's what I've seen. Maybe you have a funny story that you want to share and how that affected you. Maybe you had a moment where you said, oh, I remember that moment. And as a result of that, I made some changes in how I parent. Let's talk. We're being intentional about this thing today. 888-888-1717. Cheryl called from Arizona with a question. Welcome to the program. How can I help you today, Cheryl?
Hi, Dr. Carlson. The situation that comes up quite often is I tell my kids to do something and they respond, yes, Mom, but then there's no action that follows those words. So I repeat it again and this time remind them of the consequence and they say, yes, Mom, but there's still no action. So after going around in circles like this a few times, I end up getting frustrated and start yelling. Then they respond. Why do they wait for it to get to that point? What can I do to change this?
Yeah, you've thought about that. You have it all kind of written out, I think, even the way you shared it. You know, everybody's speaking to you on the radio right now, Cheryl. They're saying, don't count to 10 and don't repeat yourself 4 times. Follow through. If there's no action and you have reasonably set out some consequences and you don't follow through, and I think you said you went around and around, eventually kids know you're not serious until you start yelling. And by the way, Cheryl, you're not alone. We had a call on our comment line from, I think it was Carmen, who's a grandmother, and I think she sort of relates to what you're talking about. So I want you just to take a listen to her for a moment.
Hi. I just want to praise God right now because I am a grandmother who has taken custody of a 12-year-old granddaughter, which is my son. And for the past year and a half, I found myself in the last 3 months yelling. And I have been praying to God to help me to stop yelling because she is given to me because she came from an abusive mom. And here I am yelling at her. And she's so sweet. She doesn't yell back at me. She doesn't get upset with me. She just says, okay. So I am so ashamed of myself. But I praise God and I thank Him because right now I am listening to this program and I thank you because God speaks and He uses people and I praise Him and I thank you so much for everything that I am hearing today.
You know, thank you. We are responsible for our behavior. We're responsible for the words that we use and for our attitude. It's one of the laws of intentional living that we're 100% responsible. I think the moment we, come on, parents and grandparents, the moment we say, hey, I'm responsible, how I act, the words that I use, my attitude, because my kids are catching it. And over the years, I've seen that with my own kids. As you've seen behaviors that come out that you like. You know, when the kids do something great, it's easy as a parent to say, hey, that's my kid, you know, that's my kid. But when they do something not so great, it's like, whose kid is that anyway, you know? Where did that come from? And not always, but many times we do see our own worldview, our own attitudes, and our words coming out. And so really preparing, I think, and being prepared in advance is a powerful thing. To be intentional with as a parent, you've got to have a plan. And that made me think about a caller, one of our women who called the program and left a comment. And I think she kind of lays it out for you, Cheryl, in terms of what do you do if you got this problem of yelling. Take a listen to what she said.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Coming from somebody who's been a mother, and I'm still a mother of a 9 and 11-year-old or 12-year-old, I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way or when things don't, your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan. Be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great. This is what my plan was. But more than likely, at least I'm ready, and I'm ready to respond in the right way. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready, and you're going to react in a godly way.
That's good. And that's great advice. Thank you for that call. We're going to take a break in a moment. Come back. We'd love to hear from you. Perhaps today you think about, you're looking at your kids, your grandkids, and you see yourself and maybe a behavior or two or an attitude you had to work on as something's come out of their life that you realize is really coming out of your life originally. What is it? And how have you dealt with that intentionally? Or what is it that being intentional that you're trying to exemplify for your kids? What are some intentional things you're doing, behaviors and attitudes that you want your kids to imitate? And you're being intentional in the process. Give us a call. Let's talk. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I wanted to tell Dr. Randy how my husband and I are choosing to be intentional parents. We are not teaching our daughter that happiness is paramount. We actually are teaching her to be a decision maker and to be a faith-based decision maker based on principle, and we're really focusing on right and wrong as opposed to do what makes you happy. So we are teaching her that happiness will be there. It's not something you will have to pursue if you're a faith-based decision maker. So thank you, Dr. Randy, for reminding us all to be intentional and sharing the benefits of other people's intentional living with us. Thank you very much.
You know, I'll tell you why that works, and by the way, it does. It's because if the value that we have in our life, we say that our value is to follow Christ and be a Christian. And if we truly mean that, we're not going to find happiness when we don't do it. There's a dissonance that develops, in our life when that happens. And so when we're a follower of Christ, and the deeper we go in terms of making that how we make our decisions and following what Scripture teaches, we're going to be happier. Doesn't mean we're going to be less problems, because we're going to have problems in life. But it could be that you have less issues. At least you'll have less issues of our own stupidity. Come on, talk to me about how that can happen, right? And it happens often when we get off track and try to make decisions or do things that are contrary to what we know Scripture teaches in our life. So that's a great reminder today. By the way, I just want to say thanks to each of you all across the network, from our home base, the Family Life Radio Center and stations, and across the station's affiliates, how much we appreciate and respect and certainly honor what you all do as radio stations. And I always ask our listeners to be praying for you and continuing to support the radio, because without you, we couldn't be here. And of course, those of you listening on podcast, thanking you as well. And for those of you who've been praying for us and standing with us, God bless you. We appreciate it. You're making a difference in the ministry. Today, we're talking about kids, of course, and the fact that kids catch from us how we live more than what we teach. In fact, there's nothing worse than growing up and saying, my dad or mom, they were phonies. They said one thing, but did something else. When we are intentional in our own life, it radically changes the credibility and authority we have, frankly, in our families.
As you know, everyone is born with unique DNA. Did you know that living an intentional life is connected to a different type of DNA?
The essence of intentional living is that we have a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, DNA, he takes an in-depth look at how living intentionally and having a deep relationship with Jesus will change how you live your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, today we're talking about being intentional with our kids, because let's face it, our kids are great recorders. They pick up everything. It's like a sponge. They're watching constantly. You know that, and I know that. You can see it. You can see how they're picking up our attitudes, the words that we speak, how we speak to each other in our marriage, if we're married, our attitude toward the other people. But the problem, here's the problem with kids. Kids are great like sponges. They record everything, but they are terrible interpreters. They can't figure it all out. They, you know, you don't have a five-year-old saying, well, I mean, you know, mom's just having a bad day today. And I think that's really, I'm going to give her a break. I'm going to cut her a break, because she wouldn't normally have said something like that, you know? So I'm going to cut her some slack, because I love her and I know generally she's a pretty good mom. Come on now, that's not what kids do. Kids are constantly picking up, recording what we're doing, and they're interpreting it in their own way, and they're terrible at it. They either feel sometimes rejected or feel loved and accepted, or they feel that's the way the world works, or I'm to be quiet and back off and not express myself. And so while no parent can be perfect, to be aware of the fact that how we behave and our attitude does impact our kids should bring us to the level of mindfulness in terms of what we're saying and how we're saying it, to be aware of it and to be brave enough, strong enough, and as a believer, willing to go to your children when you've blown it and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Modeling is really what we're talking about. Modeling for our kids what God's intention is for them as they grow into adulthood. And so you're welcome to come and join us as we're talking about how do we model that. Maybe you've got a story you can share that was a wake-up moment. Can you think of a wake-up moment in your own life, something you saw in your kids that said, wow, that comes back on me, and I need to work on that in my life? Or how have you turned some of your behavior and your attitude in a direction to help your children begin to imitate the things that really make a difference in a positive way? 888-888-1717 is the number. We'll get you on the air. Tom is called from Illinois with a question today. Welcome to the program. How can I help you, Tom?
Hey, Randy. Just kind of a comment and a question. My wife and I learned that our fighting, when we yelled at one another, that affected our kids. And the question I have is, how can we go back and help them to realize that the way mom and dad did things was not right? They're both out of the home now. One's at college, one's living on his own. And we see the effects of the way we fought with one another in front of them. And we are Christians, made it tough. We're just looking for the right way to make things better.
Mm. Well, Tom, you're talking about regrets, and I can't think of any parent or grandparent that has been around for a number of years and raised kids or grandkids that don't have moments of regrets. I think in my own home, you know, I'm out teaching on parenting and how to be an intentional parent and using logical, natural consequences. And then we catch myself reacting, maybe yelling when I didn't need to or shouldn't have, or over-responding or lacking response. And I look back over the years and think, oh man, I should have done this. I could have done this. Why didn't I do that? And there's a point where Satan will use that should haves, could haves, why didn't I, to drag me down or drag you down in terms of being the kind of grandparent or parent you need to be now. And so to be brave enough when you've blown it to just say, hey, you know, you kids are all growing up now. You're on your own. And if I were going back and could do this all over again, there are two or three things I'd do differently. I want to just tell you what they are. And I don't know what they are for you. Are they being more patient or not overreacting? And to be brave enough to say, will you forgive me? Because my heart is such that I don't want you to take from what you experienced from me and see it repeated into the next generation. I know it puts a burden on you, but I want you to know that I'm supporting you and love you, and I know with God's help, those are some things that don't need to go to the next generation. They can stop right here. But I'll tell you what, you got to watch out for how regrets can get you into trouble. In fact, we had a call from Charlene in Arizona who had a comment about this and how, as a 70-year-old, regrets are really affecting her today. I want you to hear it. I'll comment more.
I am 70 years old. I have raised three children, and I raised them dealing with them instead of working on relationships. I today have a wonderful family, but I do not have a good relationship with those three children, and I regret it very much. If there's anything your listeners can do to develop relationship when they're young, I suggest they do it. I'm developing a relationship now with grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yeah, I think that's part of God's grace to allow us to live long enough to be a grandparent. As a grandparent, we approach things in a different way than we did as parents. It's just part of the process. I think of Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, I was at a conference speaking, and he was speaking there as well, and he made a statement. I've heard it repeated many times since by many people, but I originally heard it from Josh, and he said, a rule without a relationship will always create rebellion. And I thought, wow, that's pretty true. That's good. That's good. That's good counsel. It's good teaching. If you're a rule-based home, where it's all about rules and regulations, following the plan, and you don't have a relationship that supports that, it's going to naturally create rebellion. Now, I went out and created my own little formula. I said, you know what, though? You can have relationship without rules, right? And I've seen parents like that. There's so much emphasis on relationship, there's no rules, and that can create chaos. And so it's the balance between these two, having reasonable rules and a great solid relationship that I think is something to shoot for. And we're talking about modeling for our kids. There you go. Have reasonable rules, rules that are right, rules that are consistent, rules, not a bunch of them. You know, if you've got 25 rules in your home, maybe there's too many. But there should be a few rules. We respect each other. We support each other. We're a family. I used to tell my kids, remember when you go out, you're a Carlson? You know, whatever that means to you, you're a Carlson. And I think setting those expectations in a way that are reasonable and clear for your kids is a positive thing. It's part of the process of being intentional. Come on, join us, 888-888-1717, talking parenting today. Andrea's on the line. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment?
I was just wanting to comment about the person that called in earlier about with the yelling at the kids,
yes,
and telling them to do something, and then they don't listen, and then you end up yelling. My husband and I are foster parents, so we deal with children that have a lot of, a lot of issues, and so one thing that we did, we took a class on love and logic,
mm-hmm,
and it changed our lives. It teaches you how to be calm and how to let your children know basically that you are the one in control of not only your emotions and your feelings, but they're not going to get you to the point of yelling, because sometimes children do that to get, you know, to get their needs, their attention, sure, whatever they need.
Yeah.
And the love and logic just really teaches you how to be in control and not let the kids control you.
Well,
and
that's what kids have. I mean, they're either trying to get your attention or they're trying to establish a power base, which I'll make you do mm-hmm. what I want you to do. So give
right.
an example, Andrea. Let's say you've got a child, 5-year-old coming, and they're baiting you. They're coming after you. They're pushing all those buttons that get mom to either yell or get, you know, too reactive. What specifically did you do or do you do at that moment that you've learned that works?
There's key phrases. You know, if you have a child that wants to argue with you and is, you know, just arguing, you just keep saying over and over, "I love you too much to argue. I love you too much to argue." And then, you know, just let them know you're not going to fight back with them. And eventually they give up because you love them too much to argue. And they know they're not going to get what they want.
Well, that's it. They're not getting it. See, what happens is when the child wants to argue and you argue with them, they got exactly what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You do know how much power that is for a little 5-year-old to be able to get a mom to argue with him? And so this idea of love and logic, or we talk about natural consequences, logical natural consequences, what you're doing is you're sidestepping it. You're getting out of the way of that power as it's coming at you, and you're approaching it in a very intentional way, which is a good thing to do. Now, I know this Love and Logic series, it's held at different churches around the country, isn't it?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. The first class we took was probably about 10 years ago, and it was through our church. It changed our lives.
That's good. Well, it's a good reminder that there are programs and things available. We talk about intentional living. We use logical and natural consequences. We talk about raising a responsible adult. Parallel with what you just heard is when you got a powerful child and you get in the way of that power, they're going to suck you in. And when they suck you in, you find out you're a 5-year-old all over again. That's how you feel. And then you feel guilty and then all that vicious cycle. So a lot of love, using a lot of logic, and we talk about natural and consequences as well, and logical consequences. All right, more on parenting today, in particular, how our kids mimic who we are. And you know what? If you're an angry, here's what we've seen, angry children often have angry parents. It comes from that, it flows out of that. It's just part of the process, and that's why we tell parents to, what do we say, parent up, power down, right? Parent up, power down. That's the process. All right, more in a moment. You can join us, 888-888-1717, as we continue our discussion. What have you learned that's helped you as a parent, or what question do you have for me today? Let's talk.
The One Thing Challenge is set up so beautifully because everything was right in order. When I needed the encouragement, it was there. When I needed the strength, it was there. When I needed the, you know, hang on, you're getting there, you know, it was so perfect. Everything is set up so wonderful. And so by the time I got to 30 days, which flew by, really, and before I knew it, I had done it, and I felt good. I felt like I had actually achieved something. And my husband saw the change. And he was excited, and so then he wanted to learn more. And for there to be free resources out there for those of us who don't have a lot of extra money, it really was a blessing to be able to find it, and I'm ready to give back. I was so blessed by it. I told my husband, I said, we have got to contribute to this ministry. It's been a really, really great experience.
Amen. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate your support, and your story is really a powerful illustration of what intentional living is all about. It's why we do what we do. If you decide to take the next 30 days, you know, we're right here at the end of the month, just ready to start October. Just imagine if on October 1st, you made a decision that for the next 30 days, there was just one thing that you knew would make a difference in your life that you're going to either eliminate from your life or you're going to add to your life that will bring glory to God and benefit to some area of your life. That is a huge encouragement. I don't know if it's in the area of finances or if it's in the area of your relationship with your spouse or maybe a relationship with Christ. You know what it is. And whatever that one thing is, take it on for the next 30 days. And I can guarantee you at the end of 30 days, when you get to the 31st of October, and if you've been faithful and following through every day,
You're going to look back and say, I've got a new habit, a habit of faith that's changing my life. That's intentional living. And of course, do it for God's glory, not just for your own, but the trickle down, as I said, a benefit is huge. That's intentional living. I want to say thanks to those of you who are standing with us and allowing to make that message possible here and around the world. And so DNA has been something that started in the 20th century, early 20th century, as a philosophical concept to really seek out and learn. And then in the 21st century, to really discover what the meaning is of the DNA in our lives. And the definition is, it's the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone, of you, especially regarded as unchangeable. It's the part of us that's unchangeable in our lives. And when we look at DNA today, we recognize that it's the essence, really, of who we are as a human being in terms of our genetic material and how we were created by God. Boy, you know, the lesson this month is a very practical one. I titled it our spiritual DNA. When we really get a handle on what our DNA does, when it gets messed up, if anyone's in medicine, you know, when the DNA gets messed up, bad things can happen. That's true spiritually as well. So I hope you'll enjoy that lesson. It is up on our website right now. It's been the featured lesson here for September. We'll have a new one coming up in October. But you can get to it, listen to it, share it with others. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. I say it every time that all of the resources that we make available, we create here, are up on our website or going out on social media for one reason. That's to help people come to Christ and grow in their relationship with Him. And it's made possible because we have so many wonderful friends, maybe like you, who support the ministry financially to allow us to do this. We're listener supported. We're not supported by advertisers or government grants. We're here because of your support. And I would invite you to come and join my wife Donna and I and the rest of the team in standing in support of the ministry. You can do that easily during West Coast business hours. You can call and talk to one of our team. They can answer questions. And I'm sure they'll say a big thank you for joining us at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and press number 2 to go to the staff. Or you can anytime go online to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, and share with us there. A lot of helpful resources there as well. Well, today I hope you found some help as a parent, as a person, in your relationship with others. That's why intentional living is here. That's why we do what we do. So on behalf of Stephen, Jennifer, and the rest of the team, God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living. And as a reminder, it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.